helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. Take a look around and you'll see tyrannical policies coming out of the UN, Washington, D.C., many of our state houses, and yes, corporate America. I talk to a lot of people, and most of them fall into one of two categories: those who have given up and those who are frustratedly seeking someone to save them. In my mind, neither of those groups are living free. What does it take to live free when so much around you is pressing you into servitude? See, that's what I want to talk about today. I want to look at some of what is going on and not simply point out the tyranny, but ways we can live free. Rudyard Kipling once wrote, "If you can keep your wits about you while all others are losing theirs and blaming you, the world will be yours and everything in it. What's more, you'll be a man, my son." I say, if you can keep your liberty while all those around you are losing theirs, not only will the world be yours, but you will be a patriot. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. This is where we read, we study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. Hey, we'll teach the current generation to be free. We'll teach any generation we can to be free. Because freedom, like common sense, is becoming one of the rarest commodities in our lives today. Sure, that may seem a little hyperbolic, but more and more I see people that they are either living their life at the dictates of others, or they are seeking some other to save them. In other words, rather than saving themselves, rather than protecting themselves, they're looking for someone else to save them, someone else to protect them, someone else to enslave them to their ideology or to their agenda. See, freedom is messy. I've been having an ongoing comment discussion with someone basically around the idea of jury duty and some of our natural rights. And the basic idea is, it almost seems like this person is looking for a nice, clean, sanitary solution, but freedom doesn't work that way. Liberty doesn't work that way. Tyranny works that way. Tyranny gives you nice, clean answers to absolutely everything. Liberty does not. Liberty is messy because I have to allow someone else to act in the way they want, even if I don't like it, even if I think it's wrong, even if I know it will hurt them. In liberty, I can advise them, but I cannot force them. It is the tyrant that can limit harms to you. Think about that this way. Think about how often governments say they have to force you to do something for your own good. It's for your own safety. We have to protect you from what's going on. We have to exercise power over you because we know better than you do, and we need to protect you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's tyranny. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines tyranny as arbitrary or despotic exercise of power. Notice it's not arbitrary and, it's arbitrary or. Whenever someone exercises an arbitrary power over you, that's a tyrannical power. We think of tyranny as a despotic exercise of power, but even the arbitrary exercise of power. Power that's, and what is this arbitrary exercise of power? Well, it's power that is unjust. It's not authorized by law or by justice. What's interesting is back at Webster's 1828 dictionary, the definition of tyranny isn't simply under tyranny. So I was doing this study when I was working on my book, and there's a definition of liberty from Webster's dictionary, the 1828 edition. And he talks about the different levels of different, you know, general liberty, natural liberty, civil liberty. But he has this little sentence in here. He says, a restraint of natural liberty, not necessary or expedient for the public, is tyranny or oppression. Well, it becomes very interesting is, who decides what is necessary or expedient for the public? Take, for example, the recent announcement that the World Health Organization, the infamous WHO, and the European Commission, which is the executive branch of the European Union, well, they've launched a new deal. See, the WHO is going to adopt the EU's system for digital COVID certification. Yeah, COVID, which is basically dead. COVID, which evidence now shows was never truly a public health emergency amongst the general public. It was a disease that attacked the elderly and mostly those who are overweight, diabetic, or have other serious respiratory considerations. Now we still it's going on. And you have the WHO that wants to take the EU's what we commonly call a vaccine passport, and they want to make it a global system to facilitate global mobility, to protect systems across the world from ongoing and future health threats, including pandemics. Now, a lot of people look at this and saying, well, it'll keep us safe. Those people are not living free, because they are putting their future in the hands of a UN organization, the World Health Organization, an international, an unaccountable group that will determine what will be required for you to put in your body in order to quote, facilitate global mobility and to protect citizens across the world. We've seen what happens when these sort of dictatorial and tyrannical organizations put in place tracking and monitoring systems for the purpose of, well, protecting the people. But just look at the social credit score in China. Then again, we can look closer to home too, can't we? We can look what happened in California and New York and in Michigan, where the powers that be decided that it was necessary, it was expedient to lock people up, to lock down their systems, to shut down their economy, even to go so far as to arrest people for not following their dictates, even though they themselves often ignored their own rules. Now, how do you live free in a land like that? Well, free is a spectrum. Liberty is in many ways a spectrum. We're never truly free. You're not free to do whatever you want. You can't walk off a building and simply fly, right? There's certain things that don't happen. You can't walk up and punch somebody in the nose for saying something stupid. There's limits. And yes, at this point, we're talking about the WHO and the European Union. And I am sure, if not this administration, some future administration is going to claim we need to join this landmark digital health partnership in order to protect the people. But I want to remind you of a couple things. First of all, any such treaty would be null and void. No, ladies and gentlemen, those aren't my words. Those are the words of people like Alexander Hamilton. The words of at least four Supreme Court cases, all of which state in one form or another that unconstitutional acts are void. I don't care if the president signs it. I don't care if the Senate ratifies it. It was not it's not a treaty made under the authority of the United States, because the United States is not given the authority to manage your health care, to determine your health outcomes. It's void. Now, that knowledge alone, what can help you live free? That doesn't mean that the powers that be won't try to intimidate and force you to comply with their illegal mandates. But the free person doesn't. Now, I'm not saying there aren't consequences for that. I've told the story multiple times about a mass mandate in a neighboring county. And the document I had produced to show the police, should they have showed up, why their enforcement of a county mask mandate was not only illegal, but that they were actually committing a crime by enforcing it. And I thankfully, the police never showed up. I never had to put that view to the test. But I'm well aware, if I were to have told the law enforcement this, 50-50 chance I'm walking away in handcuffs. See, the thing about freedom is you're free not based on what someone else does to you. You're free based on how you live your life. Yes, you can be free and incarcerated. You can live as a free person suffering the consequences of that freedom. Now, I'd love to live in a world where if you did what was right, there would never be a negative consequence. We don't live in that world. It does not exist. So we have to decide what we will fight for, how far we will go, how much of our we will allow our liberty be infringed before we say that's enough. Well, for example, back on March 5th, Professor Michael J. Joyner, he was a professor at the Mayo Clinic, was suspended without pay. Well, why? Well, because while speaking to the press, he did not toe the company line. He did not adhere to their quote-unquote prescribed messaging. He didn't say what the Mayo Clinic wanted him to say. Now, as I understand it, he never claimed to represent the Mayo Clinic. He consistently made it clear to the journalist and to the college that he spoke for himself only. And the college fired him. The Mayo Clinic College fired him. Now, let me ask you, did he live free? Did he refuse to comply with an unjust limitation on his actions? Yes. Were there consequences for that? Yes. As I understand it, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression are actually working with this professor to get his job back. That's also a consequence. But you can live free and lose your job. See, freedom doesn't exist without consequences. As we've often heard, freedom is not free. There's a cost. That cost sometimes is in dollars. More often, it's in consequences. It's in putting your job on the line because it's the right thing to do. Liberty means living with your life without unnecessary external influences, which often means having to push against those who wish to impose their external influences on you. And sometimes the consequences, well, they don't come from government and they don't come from your employer. Now, we've all heard about Anheuser-Busch and the reaction to Bud Light. We've all heard about Target. We've heard about Disney and the backlashes and the consequences they suffered. But those consequences don't always go one way. A Catholic father of five who runs a small farm in Louisiana, well, he's suffering consequences for defending his Catholic faith. See, back on June 3rd, this gentleman, Ross McKnight, he's the owner of Backwater Foie Gras, and he made an Instagram post where he referred to quote-unquote Pride Month as an attempted coup of the month of June, and he suggested some antidotes to a false pride. Now, shortly after the Instagram post posted, many of Mr. McKnight's biggest customers left. Now, he made a comment that says, "While we never required our customers to pass a litmus test before serving them, it seems our values, which come from lives lived in Louisiana as Louisiana Catholics, are considered unacceptable by some." Yeah, absolutely. And just as we have to recognize the right of people to not purchase Anheuser-Busch, not go to Target, not go to Disney, we also have to recognize the rights of these businesses to not do business with Mr. McKnight if he thinks that Pride Month is a coup of the month of June, which, by the way, I agree with him on. But you see, he's living free. He did not allow his business, his customers, to infringe on an idea that he holds sacred. And that's the part. There's a line in the sand that each one of us has to draw. Some people would put their business above Pride Month. Mr. McKnight didn't. Some people would put their job above their freedom of speech. Some people will put their body autonomy above an illegal treaty. And some of them will pay some of us will pay consequences for it. Some of them will be simple. Some of them may be dear indeed. But just because you pay a consequence doesn't mean you're not living free. Now, this is one of the primary goals, especially of the boot camp. The Constitution Study Patriots is part of it, but the boot camp especially. So I call it a boot camp because, well, I think of it as a military boot camp, right? That's the first thing you do when you join the military. They send you to a boot camp where you learn the basics. You learn the rules and regulations. You learn how to march. You learn how to salute. You learn how to do things, the basics that you need. That's what this boot camp is. And that's happening live in Middle Tennessee on July 1st. And if you could join me, I would love to see you there. Please get your tickets at constitutionstudy.com/bootcamp. But if you can't attend, don't worry. I'm recording this event so that I can post it so everybody can participate. But the goal is to make sure that we've got some tools to help us live free and to make sure that when we're living free, we're basing our opinions and our decisions and our positions not on whim, not on emotion, not on whatever wind happens to be blowing by at that time, but on truth and facts and data, to give us the strength to stand up against the storms when our liberty is challenged, yet the flexibility to recognize we aren't always right, and we need to be open to the idea that somebody else may have an idea we haven't thought of. So again, find out more. Go to constitutionstudy.com/bootcamp for the bootcamp, constitutionstudy.com/patriots for the Patriots program. That will be launching once the bootcamp video is live, because you have to go through the bootcamp to join the Patriots. Now, one thing you want to do if you want to live free is, well, to help make sure your body works. It's one of the reasons why I love Healthy Cell. They are the leading innovator in supplements designed to work at the cellular level. And one I use is called Immune Super Boost. It contains over a dozen immune supplements in a single, easy-to-use travel-ready gel pack. I throw them in my bag whenever I'm on the road. It supports my immune system while I'm on the road, and I think it's worth you maybe taking a look at. You can find all about it at HealthyCell.com. But listen, you're also an America Out Loud listener, which means you can get 25% off your first order if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So please go to HealthyCell.com, look at all of their products, not just the Immune Super Boost. Put your cart together. When you check out, use that code OUTLOUD. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait. We wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. We rejoin the Constitution study, and today we're talking about living at liberty when the world around us is subject to tyranny. And again, I'm not saying there won't be consequences, that we get off scot-free, but we have to learn to live free if there's any chance for freedom and liberty to remain in America. I talked in the first segment about some examples of the infringement of our liberties. I want to take a look at some other policies coming out. Because as I say, it's not what people say, it's what people do that really matters. Take, for example, the recent EPA illegal rules trying to regulate more motor vehicles, trying to push people toward electric cars. And there's a couple interesting things I have heard reported about this. Again, the whole thing is illegal. The EPA does not legally exist. Again, not my words. Alexander Hamilton, 4 Supreme Court cases. The EPA doesn't exercise a power delegated to the United States. Therefore, Congress did not have the power to make a law necessary or proper to do that because, well, they weren't exercising a power delegated to the United States. Therefore, that was an unconstitutional act. That act is therefore void. Doesn't mean anything, doesn't exist. But we live in a tyranny of our own minds. We've been trained to believe that the tyrants can do what they want and that we cannot oppose them. But that's not true. Now, granted, the smaller the numbers, well, the harder it will be for you to live free without ridiculous consequences. So back to the electric car thingy. Now, this push for electric vehicles all comes out of the myth, yes, myth of global warming. Of course, now they call it climate change. They used to call it the coming ice age, but it's all based on data that just is not true. Yesterday, I was talking about how 96% of the temperature data collected in the U.S. has been corrupted. It's not valid. But that data is being used to, among other things, tell us we need to, the government needs to force us to use electric vehicles. But that's the other part. See, what you are seeing is tyranny. The push to, first of all, get to electric cars. And of course, we don't have the capacity to actually replace all of our cars with electric vehicles. It would take something like 50 times the amount of mining currently existing in the world to produce enough batteries to actually electrify all the vehicles on the road. Well, if they're still pushing for these electric vehicles, even though it is technologically impossible, it's scientifically ridiculous, it's unethical, it's immoral, why do they do it? Well, see, they think they know better than everybody else. And they think they have the power to impose it on everybody else. But here's the interesting thing. You have to assent to that. Back during COVID, there were a lot of people talking about being forced to take the jab. No, they weren't forced. They were coerced. They eventually gave in and said, the pain of not getting the jab is not worth my liberty to decide for myself what goes into my body. And we see the same thing is happening here. The pain of continuing to operate the vehicles that make the most sense for you. You see, I think electric vehicles make a lot of sense, well, in certain situations. You know, primarily urban or suburban areas where driving distances are relatively short. There's ample opportunity to charge the vehicle. Your, you know, pollution from the exhaust, which, by the way, has gotten a lot better over my lifetime. But even then, all of these things gather together and say, you know what, electric cars may make more sense. Again, for scientific reasons, for logical reasons. Now, there's a cost to electrifying vehicles. A cost, by the way, that the government tries to hide from you by subsidizing, by paying part of the cost so that you don't see the cost. And therefore, you don't realize that the electric vehicle that you pay maybe 20% more for actually costs more like 50 or 60% more once you figure in the fact that you're being taxed to subsidize these properties. But you don't have to give in to it. And in fact, here's the interesting thing. What do you think would happen in a state if enough of the people in that state looked at the, you know, got their elected representatives in the state to tell the federal government, the EPA doesn't legally exist. Nothing they say is legally binding. The courts have shown that this was an unconstitutional act. It's not a power delegated to the United States. Therefore, it's unconstitutional. Therefore, it's void. We're going to ignore it. And we're going to allow, we're going to allow our citizens to buy the vehicles that make the most sense for them. Well, that would cause a constitutional crisis. No, it'd be trying to resolve a constitutional crisis. But it starts with the people standing up and hiring representatives and informing the representatives, you will protect our rights or you will lose your job. The decision is yours. But just as the UN through their vaccine passport, although they're focusing with Europe, is eventually going to try and be implemented in the United States so that your rights, your sovereignty will be sold out from under you if you follow them to the UN. The same with the electric vehicle. This is, you know, part of the UN Interpanel Conference Committee, IPCC, trying to push you into an agenda. And the current administration is more than happy to go along with it. Well, for example, they're going to spend $600 million to join a corrupt UN club. See, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO. We left UNESCO. President Obama stopped funding UNESCO back in 2011. Now, why would they do that? Why would the U.S. Stop this? Well, let's say just UNESCO has a history. You see, the UNESCO is kind of known for promoting leftist agendas and propaganda from the communist Chinese. So why would we fund that? Well, I'm not surprised the Biden administration wants to fund that. He seems to be more than happy to spread communist Chinese propaganda. He's done so around COVID. Doesn't surprise me a bit. Now, the State Department says it's meant to counter Chinese influence in UNESCO. I don't care. You see, if we're not part of UNESCO, we're not subject to UNESCO, why do I care what UNESCO does until they actually try to enforce their will on us? But here's the other interesting part. You see, back in 2011, when the Obama administration cut funding to UNESCO, they didn't do that in a vacuum. You see, UNESCO had accepted the membership of Palestine. But you see, U.S. law bars funding U.N. groups whose members do not possess, quote-unquote, internationally recognized attributes of statehood. Palestine isn't a state. In fact, Palestine has refused to become an independent state. And because of that, because UNESCO brought in Palestine, U.S. said, sorry, we can't fund you because this U.N. group, well, you no longer, your members are not all actual states. And in fact, the Trump administration, literally, not only did we stop funding in 2011, the Trump administration in 2018 withdrew from UNESCO. And along comes Congress. You see, back in December, through the appropriations bill, Congress passed a waiver allowing the State Department to request funding for UNESCO, even though it would violate the federal law Congress said, well, we'll give you a waiver on this one. That's right. That means it was passed by the representatives of the people, as well as the representatives of the states, the House and the Senate. And they want to bring us under the control of this, again, United Nations entity. This has been going on for decades, ladies and gentlemen. The question is, will you live under it? I'm not saying, can you stop the United States, the federal government from doing this? Will you live by their edicts? Will you live by their dictates? Now, again, that's going to become harder and harder until we start pushing back and saying, no, we're not going to fund these extra governmental tyrannical agencies. Let me give you an example. I hate homeowners associations. I mean, with the red hot passion of a thousand suns, I hate them. Now, many of you may live with a homeowner association. That's your choice. That's fine. I have yet to find anybody talk to me about a homeowner association that did not hate or despise it. Or at least they didn't. They disliked it. Why? Well, when you join a homeowner association, you voluntarily give up your right to your property to some non-governmental organization. The HOA gets to tell you how high your grass can be, how many vehicles can be in your yard, what color your house can be, all sorts of ridiculous things. I was going to buy a house. My wife and I are going to buy our first house, and we walked away because it was require a homeowner association. It's effectively what the United States is doing, saying you have no legal authority, but we're going to give you the legal authority, or we're going to follow you even though you have no legal authority over us. It's time for the American people to stop paying attention to that. To say, I'm sorry, a UNESCO rule means absolutely nothing, especially within our counties and then within our states. See, a lot of the problem is we're living in this mess because we feel we have no power. We have no input. We have no say over what is going on. And a lot of the reasons we don't have a say in what's going on is because we've given up a say. I was doing an interview last night, and one of the questions was brought out is, well, what do we do about, this group is supposed to protect us and that group is supposed to protect us. And what are we doing about it? I said, problem number one is you're expecting other people to protect you. See, that's not free. That's not liberty. Liberty says, yes, I'm not going to be dependent on other people to protect you. But that comes with the responsibility of, that means I have to protect myself. Because as soon as you put yourself under the auspice of someone else to protect you, you have to follow their rules. So when the White House puts on a giant event supporting perverts, right? They call themselves LGBTQI plus whatever. It's pride. It's pride in perversity. In this event, they actually had a bare-chested woman on display. I think she was there and on the lawn took her shirt off because that was her agenda. That means the people's house, the White House, the public property was used to promote perversion and lewdness because we've given them the power. We allow them to do this, and they pay no price for it. So when the same administration, when the State Department flies a pervert pride flag over the U.S. Embassy at the Vatican, the home of the Roman Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic religion, to me, that seems to be quite an insult to Roman Catholics everywhere. But you see, the American people have handed over to the government to say, yeah, you go do that. We're not gonna make a big deal of it. We're not gonna actually hold you accountable to it. Now, I'm not saying that the American government should make their decisions based on the host country's laws, but what are we telling? What have these people represented us to be? Think of it this way. You live at the Vatican. You're getting your information based on what the American people are showing you. And what do you see? You see America to be a bunch of people obsessed with sex and perversion and all sorts of insanity. And that's what's being represented of you. Again, when we hire, when we elect people, we are hiring representatives, and they are representing us. And they hired a diversity, what's the title? A diversity officer for the Department of State, who's more worried about showing her freak flag than actually representing the majority of the people of the United States. Well, first you start with saying, that ain't me. And you stop, and we learn to stand up and say, no, if you're going to be, if you're going to show off perversion, again, I'm not saying these people should be rounded up and shot. I'm not saying they should be put in camps. But I'm saying the White House is supposed to represent the United States, not the LGBTQ class. It's supposed to represent the United States, not the climate scare apologists or any of these apologists. And as long as we live as if they get to tell us what they can do, well, then we're going to be living in servitude. And you start by not listen, by stopping to listen to them. Don't believe them when they say, you have to do what we say because we say so. Now, listen, I have to take another break. Before I go, though, I want to remind you that, you know, the Constitution Study is just one of several voices heard on AmericaOutloud.com. Now, I go there every day to get news and information, and then I take that information and I share it. And I'm going to ask you to do exactly the same thing. Go to America Out Loud every day. See what's going on. Get different points of view on the news and items that are going on, and then share them. The stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos, share them. See, it's by exposing people to ideas like, we are not servants of government, they're supposed to be servants of us. That we do more than simply spread the good news. We do more than simply learn how to live at liberty. We work to help secure the blessings of liberty for everyone.
Here we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. AmericaOutloud.com, 7 amazing years. We know that if America fails, the world will fail. It is incumbent upon us to carry the torch for liberty. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-term effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. Fortunately, Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula with the miracle enzyme natokinase, scientifically studied to dissolve spike protein so you can feel your very best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans, to rejoin the Constitution Study. Today, I'm talking about how do you live free? How do you live at liberty when tyranny is all around us? And it starts by recognizing the tyranny. So, for example, Nevada Governor Joe Lombardo recently signed into law Bill SB 163, which requires health insurance providers to cover what is referred to as medically necessary treatment of conditions relating to gender dysphoria and gender incongruence. Now, this included, by the way, surgical intervention as well as other quote-unquote necessary treatments. But you see, necessary treatment is defined by who? See, the World Professional Association for Transgender Health Standards of Care promotes that anybody who feels like they have this issue, well, it's necessary for them to get puberty blockers and children and surgery, even to children. You see what's happened here? Now, first of all, you have the government telling an insurance company what they will cover. And again, they use the euphemism medically necessary treatment. Well, I can think of almost no situation where puberty blockers or surgery is medically necessary. any more than I can think of situations where other reconstructive surgery is medically necessary. Again, there are situations if someone had been injured, right? Plastic surgery, stuff like that. We're not talking that. We're talking about, in this case, altering a perfectly healthy body because of a mental problem. But we're talking about insurance. You know, again, you have the state telling insurance companies, you must cover that. No, by the way, not just for adults, but for minors. Think of what we're talking about here. We're talking about the government telling the companies they have to do this in support of a minority of the people of this country. I don't know what the numbers are. They're kind of hard to track lately because there's been such an explosion in this mental disorder, this social contagion, that anybody that at any time felt a little different is suddenly supposedly transgender. But think about it. Now you are being saying if you want medical coverage, you're being forced to pay for coverage that you may find morally, religiously, or just medically insane. Why should I be forced to pay for insurance coverage that I will never want? I remember when my wife and I were much younger, newly married, and we were looking at health insurance, and I kept asking the question, we don't believe in abortion. Why should I be forced to pay for insurance coverage that covers abortion? You see, then I lived in the state of New York, and the tyrants in New York said, well, no, everybody should be able to have access to this. But then let them pay for it. Again, part of it is recognizing the tyranny of the state of Nevada saying, you must cover this. Personally, I would do everything I could find to find a company that says, no, we won't. We won't cover this. We won't charge you for this because it's right. And again, I don't live in Nevada. But it was the representatives of the people of Nevada that passed SB 163. You see, the other part we look at this is the article I was looking at. This came from the Daily Caller, talks about the governor signing this into law. But remember, it was the representatives. It was the House and the Senate in the state that drafted that law, that put the language into that law, and then passed that law. And I think it's maybe about time we realize we have a say in our public servants, and we really, really need to organize it. We need to do more than simply vote based on donkeys and elephants, or vote based on emotions, or even vote based on, I don't know, who's going to give us the most goodies. See, if you're going to live free, that comes with a responsibility. One of those responsibilities is how you cover, how you make these decisions. How you look at this and say, oh, no, I'm not going to force someone to comply. If I think it's important, I may fund it privately, but I'm not going to force other people to comply. And this coercion, again, I see it on both sides. I just read an article. This one came from Newsbusters, talking about how YouTube is censoring different people for their position on transgenderism. They're being accused of censoring was Candace Owen, Michael Knowles, Jordan Peterson, for what they what the platform says is hateful and derogatory for pointing out that transgenderism is a mental issue, not a physical issue, for asking the question, what is a woman? Matt Walsh has been censored. Again, here's the problem. YouTube is a private platform. We want to coerce YouTube into providing the content we want them to provide, but we're not willing to recognize that they're a private entity. Now, by the way, I post my videos on YouTube primarily because, well, I hope people on YouTube might actually find them and may, think different ideas, think about this, be exposed to these ideas. But I also post my content to Rumble and to Gab TV. Why? Well, so that if YouTube decides to censor me for, looking at facts and data, reading the actual Constitution. You know, the same way I believe Facebook banned me for, well, reading what the Constitution actually says about how we elect a president. See, we have to understand that being free doesn't mean I can coerce YouTube to put the content on I want, but does mean I have the right to go somewhere that will put on the content that I want. So yes, every week I post a video to YouTube, and I also post it to Gab, and I also post it to Rumble. And I also encourage people, maybe if you think that YouTube is censoring information, censoring people that you think they shouldn't, well, then maybe you should stop going to and go to one of these other platforms. But Paul, they don't have the same content. You know what? You're right. But then again, how are they going to get the content if the people don't show up to watch the content? It is a bit of a chicken and an egg. You've got to decide what is more important to you, getting content, you know, watching funny cat videos, or getting information that that you want without the censorship. It's one of the reasons why the Constitution, the Committees and Correspondence section of the Patriots program is going to focus on how do we share information. How do we make sure that we can still communicate even when the censors come after us? And while we're talking about governors, what about Illinois Governor Pritzker? He signed a law that requires public libraries across Illinois to adhere to the Chicago-based American Library Association's Bill of Rights in order to be eligible for state funding. Now, again, I know a lot of people that are upset. What do you mean that you're telling me that the government, the government's going to take this private organization, the American Library Association, and use them to determine what has to be allowed in our public libraries? Well, first, right, understand, public libraries now are more government libraries. And this is actually a dividing line. So you can have a public library that doesn't get state funds, but you're going to have to fund it somehow, some other way. What are your priorities? See, this is the other part of liberty that people seem to forget. As soon as you give somebody control, as soon as you take money from somebody, he who pays the piper calls the tune, you give them control. You give them a say in how that item runs, whether it be a public school or a public library. So if you want to live free, then you need to find a way to have, and you want a library, you need to find a way to have a library that isn't dependent on government to determine what's going to be in the library. And the fact that the state of Illinois is going to hand off those decisions to an unelected organization, the American Library Association, well, that's just another example of the tyranny. It's taxation without representation. The state is collecting taxes to fund public libraries, but the people who are paying the bill are not given a say in what's in the library. But this law, which was signed by Governor Pritzker, was passed by the representatives of the people in the Illinois legislature. And we have to stop saying, well, they have to do something. No, no, no. You have to tell them. You have to inform them what they can and cannot do. If your state, if you live in Illinois and your state representative voted for this and you disagree with it, do they know you disagree with it? Will you ever hold them accountable? It's funny. Somebody left a comment. They laughed at me for saying, you know, we talk about informing our representatives. He said incumbents have a 98% reelection rate, and I said, yeah, because you never hold them accountable. We simply assume that somebody else is in charge of deciding who goes on the ticket and who we will vote for, and we fall into the trap. Now, the other thing about liberty, I want to cover one other thing here, but it does require sacrifices. For example, now you know me, I spent 30 years in IT. I am a techno geek. I love technology gadgets. One thing I'm working on, I'm building a new router for myself. That's right. I don't buy one from the store. I don't get one from my ISP. I'm building one. Why? Well, because I want control over things like content filtering and spam filtering and all this. I want to be in control. So I build it. And I have the skills to do that. Now, one of the things that a lot of people do is they love these technology gadgets, the Amazon Alexas, the Google Homes, the the Apple has their own HomePod, whatever, these automation tools. And they're really kind of neat, especially like the voice activate, very Star Trek, you know, computer, turn on the lights. There's a problem. See, what most people don't realize is all of that data goes outside your house. It's out of your control. So when you go, Alexa, add potato chips to the shopping list, understand that not only does that request go out to the cloud to be processed, but if you have any device from your iPhone, your Apple, your Android phone, Alexa, any of these, where you say, hey, Alexa, or hello, Google, and it's going to react, it is listening to absolutely everything you say, and it's sending it to a data center for processing. One of the things that drives my accountant, well, maybe not nuts, but he would launch me to get onto an online accounting software so that he can work more easily with it. It says, Paul, it's easier. It'll suck in all the data that you need, and you answer a few questions, and then it's easier. I said, the problem is I'm not putting my books in the control of a third party. And here's a good reason why. Let's start this. On May 31st, a gentleman, Brandon Jackson, said that I finally got access to my Amazon account after an unexpected and unwarranted lockout that lasted nearly a week from Thursday, May 25th. This wasn't just a simple inconvenience, though. I have a smart home, and my primary means of interfacing with all the devices and automations is through Amazon Echo devices via Alexa. This incident left me with a house full of unresponsive devices, a silent Alexa, and a lot of questions. Now, the article, which I read on Revolver News, goes into a lot of detail of what happened, but basically, a delivery driver dropped a package off at his house and claimed that his doorbell, his automated doorbell, made a racist remark. Now, here's the interesting thing. Once that claim was made, Amazon immediately disabled his account. They never bothered to check. They never bothered to get verified. They never bothered to look for proof. Because this man says, listen, I have cameras recording everything. And in fact, he had proof that it said no such thing. The only response from the doorbell was, excuse me, can I help you? Now, whether this person was being malicious or misheard or misrepresented, that was enough to shut down this man's Amazon account. But what if he was more dependent on his automation than others? For example, my wife is in a wheelchair, and I'm building a home-based automation system to help her. Things like turning on lights, adjusting the thermostat, even contacting me if there's a problem. But I intentionally build mine without using any of these cloud services because I don't want someone, my first was, I don't want them to suddenly decide, you know what, Paul, we don't like what you say, so we're turning off your account, and now all of your home automation stops working. It even gets worse, though. I saw an article I think it was an employee at Ring who was accused of spying on female customers in their bedroom. I want you to remember, everything, if you have one of these voice-activated devices, everything you say is recorded, sent to the cloud for analysis, and then decided to react to it. Now I want you to think of, if you're doing it on your phone, where's your phone? I want you to think of all the things you do where your phone is nearby. And ask yourself, do you really think you want that in the cloud for people to watch or to listen to? Because Amazon has already been found to violate their 30-day delete policy. They have a policy that 30-day, they collect the recordings. It's part of the agreement you agree to, the terms and conditions, but they're supposed to delete it after 30 days. And they've already been found to, not be doing that. So I come back to this question. What does it mean to live free? Well, it may mean giving up certain automations and other conveniences, whether it's me with my refusal to use an online accounting software, or the fact that I refuse to put any of these Alexa or Google Home devices in my house. I refuse to turn Siri on any of my iOS devices. For you, it may be something else. The first part of living free is understanding that you have to decide for yourself. That includes deciding how much pain you will go through in order to live free. The signers of the Declaration of Independence pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to this idea of independence. In the 21st century, Americans have to decide if we will pledge anything to living free. And it all starts with the freedom of the mind, the recognition that just because someone says it's true doesn't mean it's true, that just because government does something doesn't mean it legally happened. And once we decide that we must take care of ourselves rather than being dependent on others to do it for us, we start that journey toward living free. And that's what we try to do here at the Constitution Study. So I hope you'll come back and bring some friends every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time to listen to us on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. If you can't listen then, we go to podcasts generally a day or two after the episode's heard on Talk Radio. Find us on your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave me a rating and review. Helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. You can find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutLoud.com. But please share them, share this information, share these ideas, and share the blessings of liberty.